All right, ready to get started. Today is the 30th of May, 2017, year of our Lord. And we're going to take a departure from the Book of John series today because I just haven't been able to get the teaching finished. And, with the outreach this last weekend and all the stuff that's been going on. But I do have a teaching prepared. And but it's just a lot shorter and simpler than that one that I have for the Book of John. So Daniel, hand these out. We're going to share these. A little picture I want to share with you. And this is a cartoonist from the early 19th century who drew Christian cartoons. In fact, he went around, he had one like every other person, please. I think you only have eight or nine there. His name was U.S. Abel was his name. Very talented. Yeah, she doesn't need one. I'm just kidding. His name was U.S. Abel. He was a cartoonist from the 20th century. Excuse me, the 1900s. He was born in 1876. Actually, I will need one to refer to. I'm sorry. You guys can share. And you'll see a lot of things within this cartoon, and we're going to talk about the different parts of it. But the overlying theme of it is undermining our national foundations. And today's teachings is based on Psalm chapter 11. If you want to take a few notes, it won't be too much, but it's on Psalm chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. The title of today's teaching is Foundations Destroyed. Foundations Destroyed. And we've talked about this, the foundation of our faith, and Ephesians 2 talks about that as well. And, going out regularly preaching in the open air like we do, we get to really clash with the culture and the way people think with the light of Jesus Christ and the gospel and the way modern society in America is thinking about every facet of life, every part of life. Okay, with that said, I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 11. Please get your Bibles out and read along with me. I'll wait till everybody has their Bibles out because this fellowship is going to be known that we use our Bibles because that's one of the foundations. Psalm chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest or a storm. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Okay. So, in this picture that you see here from that cartoonist that I was mentioning, U.S. Abel, undermining our national foundations, and for those that are listening on audio, I would encourage you to go just Google search U.S. Abel. It's spelled A-B-E-L-L. And you can look at all of his cartoons. He's got many dozens of them that are published online. And the top of this says, undermining our national foundations. It has like a castle and some flags flying on the castle. And then it has the foundation of the castle, which is the Bible. And then around the foundation, it has some steam shovel back excavator type machines, and it has a couple guys in the foreground, and these guys are dressed in communist uniforms and garb. Everybody would recognize this, especially in the 20th century, that these guys were communists, and they're saying we'll soon rid the world of this superstition. And communism is a very faulted political system that brings rise to many evil and brutal dictators throughout the 20th and even 21st centuries. China, Russia, and other places in the world, and even has now become a very strong influence in our country today. There are communists that want to take over and steal the inheritance of our country, the freedoms that we have to enjoy the liberty of religious exercise and speech and press and all those, the just freedom of ideas. Okay, so here we have the Bible as the foundation, and these steam shovels are working to undermine that Bible. And the Communist Manifesto, which I believe was published in 1939, about America. Manifesto is an agenda. It's a list of things that we want to do to a particular group of people so that we can overtake them. Okay? And some of the things on that agenda were create sports to be a fanatical sports thing. So the men of the country are wasting their time attending football games and soccer, and it's a worldwide phenomenon now that instead of men being caretakers for their families and studying the Bible and these kinds of things, this atheistic political system wants us busy doing entertaining, fun things that undermine good moral values. So sports introduce homosexuality, pedophilia, all these take control of newspapers, all these different kinds of things were part of their agenda, and they've been very successful. And whatever agenda it is, whether it's the communist agenda or the Muslim agenda or the homosexual agenda, they all run along the same parallel lines, that is the destruction of America. Why? What's so special about America? Well, you may not appreciate it as a born citizen of America, but I, having traveled the world, around the world, and sailed the seven seas, I know what it's like in other countries. And the privilege and the things that you enjoy and take for granted are like rich luxury compared to the rest of the world. Because I believe God has blessed our nation. When I was growing up in the 60s, most everyone went to church. If you didn't go to church, it was abnormal. For a woman to be pregnant outside of wedlock was a shame. It was shameful. There were homes that young pregnant women went to have their babies because abortion wasn't available. The choice to murder your baby inside your womb wasn't available. It was illegal. It was punishable by death, actually. But now since that, and see, that's why some of us older ones that are part of the fellowship, we have the perspective of where we were as a nation and where we've come in the last 50 years, and it's a dramatic, horrifying change, paradigm shift from the morals we had as a nation. And yeah, granted, we have had problems, still have them, racism and other things, but there is a huge change that's happened, and in this cartoon, it addresses some of those things. Can somebody shut that door, please?
Someone's honking.
That's Snoopy, our guardian dog. She's barking, a raccoon, probably. Or over there or in the front? Are you sure something's not out front?
No, it's back there.
Okay. That's what she's barking at, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the Bible. We have a castle here. And we have some pennants, some flags. One of the flags is home. Another flag is church. Another flag is school. And the top flag is civilization. To be civilized. How can we operate and live and have happiness and prosperity and peace and righteousness and things that exalt a nation? Well, God's word says. What's it say about that?
Righteousness exalteth a nation.
But what?
Remember the last part.
But sin is a reproach to any people. So sin, whether it's the simplest of things, lying, stealing, covetousness, adultery, these things destroy the very fabric of our society. One of the primary fabrics of our society is the government of family. And so when the Bible tells a husband to wash his wife in the water of God's word, and I failed to do that, I failed to do my duty or to at least ensure that she's doing it, and our children, then I failed my duty. I failed my duty. Nothing else is more important than God's word. Like the picture says. Look at the picture again. That cartoon is very powerful if you're a spiritual person. If you're a carnal person, you look at it like, oh, well, you know. But God's word says about itself that it's more precious than gold or silver. The question is, do Christians actually act like that? Man, if you had a pound of gold and you sat in the middle of the room and said, okay, you can have that pound of gold if you'll every day read the Bible an hour for a year. Would you do it for a pound of gold? If this Bible weighs 3 or 4 pounds, which I suspect it does, is 3 or 4 pounds of gold worthy to read and investigate and look at and check out and confirm and by faith understand it? Of course it is. But the Bible, let me go back and quote the verse again, it says, more precious than gold or silver. More precious than gold or silver? Yeah. So a pound of, well, an ounce of silver is about $1,500 right now, I think, on the market. So that'd be times 16. Somebody do some math for me. 16 times 1,500. Can anybody help me out with that?
24,000.
How much?
$24,000.
$24,000. For a pound of gold. Okay, so we have 3 pounds of gold, let's say. That'd be $72,000. That's a lot of value, isn't it? But it's more worthy than that. And the Bible also talks about the sacrifice of Christ being more precious than gold or silver. Why? Somebody tell me, why is the sacrifice of Christ, the Word of God, the foundation of our faith, why is it more precious than gold or silver?
It's everlasting.
It's everlasting. It doesn't tarnish. It doesn't go away. The value doesn't go up and down. People can't steal it from me. You can't steal my faith from me even if you cut my head off. Do you know that this past week there was 23 Coptic Christians that did not deny their faith unto death? It's not on the news. No news agency is carrying the story. I just happened to find out about it from a Facebook post about some, you know, very unknown news source. And 23 Coptic Christians in Egypt suffered violence unto death because they would not deny that Jesus Christ is their God. And some pretty snooty Christians here in America go, well, they're Coptics, they're idol worshippers, they're not really Christians. Well, the question becomes, is your faith strong enough to lay down in the street and say, nope, I'm not going to deny Jesus, as a Muslim points a gun in your mouth and blows your head off? Is your faith strong enough for that? It has to be. Because the Bible tells us to count our lives as lost. Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you try to lose your life if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. Okay, so how does that figure out? you know, somebody was noticing the bruise on my arm. I don't want bruises in my arm. I don't want people to attack us in the open air. Daniel had a knife pulled on him. This lesbian came up and stuck a knife in his back. Didn't stick him, but put it to his back so he could feel it. For what reason? Other than him carrying a banner. No other reason. For him representing Jesus Christ. His life was in danger this past weekend. Praise the Lord. Now, he's counted that sacrifice. He counted the cost before he went. We've counted that cost for our son, for our whole family, actually. And every Christian has to count that sacrifice. Every Christian has to understand that your life is in danger. Your spiritual life is in danger, possibly. Your mortal life is in danger, possibly. The world hates Jesus, hates God's Word, that Bible, which is the foundation. Did you get one of the pictures, brother? That Bible, which is the foundation of true civilization. God is a King of kings. In His kingdom, there will be no rebellion and no sin and no sinners. Only the saints of God ruling there with Him. Now is the time to be obedient, to show Him that you love Him. Now is the time to get born again, converted by the Holy Ghost, that you can enjoy times of refreshing now in this life, showing God that you love Him before He graciously allows you in the narrow gate that leads to life. And if you will not, if you continue to go to the enemy's side, you can continue to play with the devil's work in your life and heart and mind, then God will reject you. You won't make it in. And hopefully next week I'll remember to bring another cartoon like this that talks about coming in up another way and has a picture of the kingdom and the narrow gate and people trying to scramble in other ways. Really a cool picture too. I almost printed that one out today as well. So the Bible or the Word of God, Jesus is called the Word of God in the Bible, the Logos. But we know He's not paper. We know He's not ink. But we know that he represents the very spoken word, written word of God in flesh. He came to this world and fulfilled the word of God, fulfilled the prophecies and the law, and they taught it, expounded it so we could understand it and live it and give us the good news. Now, one of the preachers this past weekend said something very interesting. That's just her sinful nature. No. No, I think everybody likes to be in the center of attention. Okay, Lydia, you ready? Lydia. Okay. One of the preachers this past weekend was saying, he said that, you know, the gospel is good news. But it can't be good news unless you understand the bad news. The bad news, if you're in sin when you die, you go to hell forever, separated from God. That is truly bad news. The good news doesn't make any sense without the bad news. Amen. The bad news involves fire. I mean, just like what we talked about in that last part of this verse. It says, verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible storm. Can you imagine being involved in a hurricane of fire forever? In a lake that never stops burning, Mark chapter 9, where your worm does not die. That should cause you to fear. To fear God. And as we've known, we talked about many times, the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. Going back to the parts of the castle of righteousness for the nation, or for any family for that matter, is, you know, we have the education or school. The public school system in America is completely corrupted, overrun with homosexual proponents and promoters and all kinds of liberal ideologies all the way from kindergarten all the way through the university system. And if you don't conform yourself to those worldviews, you can't pass your tests. You cannot get a good GPA, which guarantees you you'll get a good job, if you buck the system at all. And so in the educational system, If you don't conform yourself to their ideologies within that system, you don't do well. You might pass, you might, you know, get a degree and that kind of thing. But if you stand for righteousness in that place, you won't do well. Same thing with the church. So in the church today, the apostate American church, and I suppose worldwide church, if you buck the system or you are not conformed to what they think is the image that God wants us to be in, or be the image bearing that God wants us to be, they reject you and you have a hard time of it and you can't find a church. And that's kind of what's led us to this home church idea, because we couldn't find anywhere that they would teach all of God's word uncompromised. They would just teach it simply without private interpretation, without all these nonsensical demonic doctrines like once saved, always saved, and sinful nature and original sin. And so we have school, we have church, and then finally the home. The home has been utterly destroyed. When I was a child, I remember them changing the divorce laws. It used to be very, very difficult to get a divorce. Very difficult. It was very frowned upon, very, very shameful thing to get divorced. But now it's very common, very easy thing for people to do. They talk about it easily. It's God created man and woman to be together for companionship, for pleasure, and for procreation. A bond in unity, one flesh together that's not supposed to be separated by any person. This is not supposed to be put asunder. This is the bonds that God put together, let no man put asunder. Now, there are certain things that God allows. If someone dies, a person could remarry. If a husband became an unbeliever or a wife became an unbeliever, they could be divorced by the abandonment of the unbelieving spouse. We haven't instructed very, very deeply into this subject, but it's something we're going to have to do in the future. Jesus said, you know, if you get divorced for just any reason, then, he sets a standard of adultery. The problem they were doing is they were divorcing for any reason. You know, my wife burned the bread, so, you know, she's not cleaning the bathroom right, so we need a divorce. Those are not good reasons to divorce. Okay? But there are. You know, if somebody was committing adultery or somebody was murdering or threatening or any of those things that obviously would be either equal to or worse than adultery. Easily understood. Those types of things would merit a separation and then divorce. The family is the most important part of any society. And within that family is a government. There's a father and a mother and the children. And the father and mother are governors themselves. It's like kind of like the president and vice president, you know. Like the president and vice president. They're not quite equal. They have different roles to play. And those are important roles each one of them has to play. One's the breadwinner, one's baking the bread. One's going out, and the other's being a keeper at home to care for the children. And then the children are those that are being governed. And, you know, the Bible says for an elder, you know, one of the characteristics of an elder is that his children are in submission. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, I think we all understand, you know, there can be a bad lording, you know, trying to lord over people. But if you're being submissive and humble, it's pretty easy to rule. And, God is grieved with all the sin and rebellion within the ranks of humanity. See, the ideas and the doctrines that he put forth in this Bible. The Bible stands. Doesn't matter what I think. My opinion doesn't matter. Your opinions don't matter. We just need to conform ourselves to what it's said in here. Okay? Again, the Bible's of no private interpretation. So we all should be able, yeah, that makes sense. I read that, go and sin no more. That's pretty easy to understand. So why are you sinning? If you know the Bible says go and sin no more, why would you keep lying? Why would you keep lusting or gossiping or whatever you might be doing inside your heart and mind? Don't you recognize you have an invisible enemy? And that invisible enemy, the devils, want to, let's look at the picture again, want to rip the Bible out of your life. So you don't care about reading the Bible every day. Want to tear your family apart. To tear your church apart. To tear your education apart. Now there's another cornerstone over there on the other side, I'm imagining. That might be like career or work, the workplace. Okay? And the workplace has been overthrown as well in this righteous castle. Okay, it's built on the foundation of God's Word. It used to be people would go to work and they'd bring their Bibles and they had no problem sharing their faith with other people, but now it's gotten to a point where the corporations do not allow any sharing of your faith in the workplace. People can curse around you all day. They can put nasty nude pictures up on the wall. They can do all kinds of filthiness in the workplace, but you can't read your Bible and share your faith with other people? And part of the problem has been that Americans, or probably worldwide, they haven't been bold enough to push it, to compel people to come in. And because they're sleeping at the helm, so to speak, or at the wheel, then the world comes in and overpowers the Christians. And they never needed to be overpowered in the first place. And so now, our civilization, Western civilization, Europe is being overrun by Muslims. The Obama administration, 8 years, has allowed hundreds, I think it's 9 million, 9 million Muslims into our country. Now, the Muslim, he can marry four wives and have average of 10 children per wife, and they can demographically overrun our country in about 40 years. What I mean demographically is population, what their religion is, what their culture is, and pretty soon we don't have constitutional law, we have Sharia law. And Sharia law says, get your burqa on. Sharia law says, you women can't drive a car. Sharia law says, husbands can beat your wives, beat your children, honor killing, all manner of barbaric, nasty, vile sin that is going on right now in many parts of the world. This is what you're facing. Your generation is facing this. Meanwhile, in America, while all that's going on worldwide and trying to press into America, there is, within America, there's communists and feminists and Antifa are trying to tear down the government that we have right now. The democratically elected government that we have now. So, I'm not sure that America is going to return to a place of righteousness that it may have had in the past. I don't. Unless you, each individual Christian, begins to promote and begins to truly believe the things that Jesus taught about going in the whole world, counting the cost of your life for Him. Unless you're willing to do that, nothing's going to change for your generation. Your generation will kill 3,000 to 4,000 babies a day, just like the last generation did, just like my generation did, and the generation even before me in America, killing 3,000 to 4,000 babies a day, 60 million babies since 1973. You don't want to see the picture. You don't want to see one picture of it. They are ripped limb from limb. What's that Bible verse? My people are broken in pieces. My people are torn in pieces. Remember it was Psalm 110 or something? I can't remember where it is right now. But those of you that are brave enough, as you grow into maturity and adulthood, you can go to a website called abortionno.org and you can see what an abortion looks like. You can see what a little tiny little baby gets ripped limb from limb. and even up to the ninth month. That's horrifying. That's worse than Nazi Germany. People are always, Hitler was so nasty Nazis. They only killed 6 million people. Our country, our system has killed 60 million people. 10 times the amount of people. But they're not considered people. Those little babies are not considered people. But the size of a person or the location of a person doesn't change the fact that they're a human being bearing the image of God. What's the image of God? You have intellect, you have a creative ability, you have a heart, you have emotions, you have all these things that God has. Now, we don't have the power of God. We're just creatures of God. But we're made in His image. And we have a duty and responsibility for the people around us, and most importantly to God and what He wants us to do with our lives. Okay. So, I mean, you can keep your picture if you like it, and I'll try to print out some more of those if you guys kind of like the pictures. But, I don't have much more to add to that. Does anybody have any questions? Brother, did you find that verse? Yeah. There's a verse in Psalm. I think it's, we're not sure where it is. Maybe we can find it out later. But, and it says, either my people are torn to pieces or my people are broken in pieces. And abortion fits that very description from the Bible. You think, oh, well, that's just word picture. No, this is actually what's happening, not just to babies. You can go to Syria where ISIS has come in, where the Muslims have come in and torn, toddlers, torn adolescents, teenagers, torn adults, torn them limb from limb. And horrifying. That's the world we live in. That's the world your generation faces. Soon, we'll be gone. We're going to go to the dirt. We won't be here anymore. But this is what you'll face. This is what you need to deal with. And our only safety is Christ. That's our safety. God Himself is our safety. Okay. Let's pray.